Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Thursday. Today's May 7th, 2015. I'm Michelle Pache, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Timothy Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with our host. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. Now, let's welcome Tim in support of developing our inner process of Aramaic forgiveness.
Thank you, Michelle. How are you today?
I'm fine. It's a beautiful weather day in Michigan. Just outstanding.
Glad to hear it.
Are you enjoying similar over?
I mean, I assume that means some sunshine and warmth.
Yes, it's very moderate and slight breeze and just immaculate skies.
All right, lovely. Well, thank you for being here and monitoring the switchboard and the chat room for us. As we're once again here to teach and support people in applying this ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness. And the quick version of that is kind of the opposite of what most of our culture in the West has taught us, is to blame everyone and everything outside of us, our circumstances, and other people's actions or failure to act on anything negative that goes on inside of us or anything positive that we're feeling inside of us. And to help people understand what ancient spiritual traditions have known for thousands of years, even before Yeshua walked the planet, which was what I'm feeling inside of me is caused by what I choose to create with my own mind energy. And it's moderated at different times by what I inherited energetically from both sides of my family. And I can choose to believe that it's moderated or driven by outside events and people, but that's another creation that I'm putting into place in my life. If I choose to believe someone outside of me is causing me to feel angry, I can actually create the experience that someone outside of me creates my anger. That doesn't mean they created it. It just means I can create the experience that they did. And I can create the experience of any number of hallucinations, auditory, visual, olfactory, tactile. And at the same time, I can become aware that that's what I'm doing and learn how to initiate a corrective process that will restore me to a feeling of peace and calm and love, in which case I clarify my perception and I perceive much more accurately. And the tool for doing that on a regular basis, to actively apply it to my life in a very practical, step-by-step fashion, is called the Ancient Aramaic Tool of Forgiveness, and it's made available through a tool that Dr. Rice has created called the Reality Management Worksheet. And it's available on the website at www.whyagain.org. And if you click on the link with the red and white bullseye, it'll take you to a page that offers chapter 24 of Dr. Rice's book, where he explains that process of forgiveness in more detail. It also will take you to a series of links, if you click on them, of downloads of audio shows, audio files of shows just like this, where Michael or Jeannie or someone else has stepped somebody through the process, somebody who called in with a problem and said, I need help doing a worksheet or doing the forgiveness process on this issue. And there it is, a step-by-step process to, number one, spell out how I'm using my mind to create the hallucination that someone outside of me is responsible for my pain or fear or sadness, and then choose to identify the goal I'm using that's driving that perception, and then choose to cancel it and ask for help in removing the source, the true source of my pain or fear or sadness. Also on that first page, if you go to www.whyagain.org, in the link just to the right of the bullseye, there's a picture of the cover of Dr. Michael Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And underneath it, it said, PowerPoints Explain. And if you click on that, it will take you to a link where you can look at, on YouTube, a wonderful 24-minute video that is a PowerPoint presentation or the script for what is read in the voiceover or the actual YouTube presentation of the PowerPoint with a video with the overlaid audio. And I'm going to recommend this to people on a regular basis because it's a wonderful summary, and it's taken a quite lengthy 4-week workshop that was collapsed into a 2-hour DVD that was further crunched into a 24-minute summary of the critical part of the forgiveness process. And I shared this with somebody who has 30 years experience in teaching, and she viewed it. She got the link from my blog, and because I put a blog post out yesterday that recommended this video. And here's her summary. The video is very good. The presentation is easy to follow and goes through the points that Michael did in the 4-hour audio that I listened to of his Why Is This Happening to Me Again lecture. And I particularly like the PowerPoint adding info on the screen in a clear and concise manner, in legible script, reinforcing the points of the subconscious and unconscious goals, and the breathing that's repeated at various angles and locations. This presentation was very easy to follow and presented for both the auditory and visual learners. I highly recommend it as an educator of 30 years' experience. So there's a glowing testimonial from an educator who has only once heard the presentation of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And the ancient Aramaic forgiveness process, but who was able to recognize in this 24-minute video with PowerPoint presentation and audio overlay that lots of key points from that 4-hour presentation, or I'm sorry, maybe she only did a 2-hour presentation of the Why Is This Happening to Me Again with live with Michael, but lots of those key points are in this 24-minute video, and you can watch it again and again and again. And as she said, there's something for the visual learner, there's something for the auditory learner. And as Michael was talking about on the show yesterday, one of the fabulous things about this is you can watch it again and again and again. You can live your life for a week, you can do a worksheet or two and come back, watch it again and get even a deeper level of understanding. So we're here to talk about this, promote it over and over and over again, and support people questioning it, trying it, putting it to use in their lives, and seeing the impact, and then calling us and questioning how it is working, how it isn't working. And the primary reason that I do this is because it's improved the quality of my life beyond measure over the past 10 years that I've been exposed to this work. And it hasn't improved my life just because I sit next to it. I didn't like buy the book and put it under my pillow and then my life got better. It improves the quality of my life when I actually pick up the tool and use it. I've had occasion recently in the past few days to have sessions with people who have talked about their frustration that things are miserable in their lives. And I've asked them, have you been doing the tapping, or have you been doing the breathing, or have you been doing the worksheets, or have you been doing the short five-step version of the worksheet? Have you done a mind shifter or a targeted journaling process? And the answer in each case is either no or yes, I did, and it's not working. And in each case where I've asked, okay, how many worksheets have you done, or how long did you write on your mind shifter, or how many breath sessions did you do, the answer was always, well, one or two. And my answer is always, that clearly wasn't enough. And it's okay if that's all I want to do is one or two worksheets and say it doesn't work for me and move on to a different tool. That's absolutely okay. I say this on a regular basis in my mind shifter groups, and I say it in my individual sessions with people. I'm not pushing one tool over another. I'm going to be going to another training again in 2 weeks' time or a week and a half to learn the latest from another teacher. And I'm going to learn another new technique if it comes along. Not because what I have doesn't work, but because in my job as a psychologist and a therapist, I'm dealing with all kinds of different people. And no one tool is going to work exactly for everyone. And that's true for psychological tools. In my experience, it's also true for spirituality. No one technique or spiritual practice is going to resonate the same for every person. And all of the teachers that I know and have really resonated deeply with me over the years say much the same thing. Dale Allen Hoffman was in town not too long ago, and he talked about toning. And at the presentation, every time he talks about toning, he says, don't try and be just like everybody else. Don't try and sound like the Backstreet Boys or the Barbershop Quartet that your dad listened to or Celine Dion. Just check in with yourself. Come from the truest, deepest resonance within yourself. And he even says, start at a low tone when you're all by yourself. And just gently raise the tone until you feel where it clicks in and it really resonates through your whole body. That's the tone for you. It's individual to each of us. And so I work with a number of people who don't like the worksheet process, but they resonate beautifully with the tapping or the EFT tapping or the tapping from body talk. And I work with people who don't like the tapping and they don't like the worksheet process, but they really get a benefit from doing breath work and journaling. So please, don't believe anything that anybody says on this show, and don't think that you have to do it this way because it works for them. Try out different tools to move yourself from any form of anger, fear, sadness, or guilt, shame, pain, tension, condemnation, blame, ridicule, any kind of hopelessness or helplessness, into a space of more loving, appreciation, gratitude, joy, and positive creativity. And whatever tool works for you to get you to that goal, use it and use it more often. That's what we're here to support. We would greatly appreciate questions or comments. And I'll take a breath and ask Michelle if she has any comments or if we have anybody with a hand up.
We actually have somebody with a hand up. I'll turn on the mic, area code 970. You're on the air. And who do we have and where are you calling from?
Hey, Michelle and Dr. Tim. It is Carrie. From Colorado, but not in Colorado. And Michelle, you kind of asked me to call in, so I'm calling in. But I love what Dr. Tim was saying. I totally know that these tools are incredibly valuable, and I've had so much personal change happen by using them that I just want to affirm what he is saying. Are you still there? Can you hear me?
We are. Thank you. I was just about to ask, did we lose you? Thank you for affirming
that
they
work for
you.
Yeah, I'm in the Yucatan, and I'm on a Skype phone, so it may be in and out a little bit. But, yeah.
You know, it's interesting, Carrie. Your number comes up just like you're calling from Grand Haven.
I know. Pretty cool, huh? I'm learning how to be a global citizen.
Well, so what else is new in your young life?
Man, I'll tell you what. I am not the same person I was yesterday. This seems to be the saying of myself and those that I hang out with lately. Right, Michelle?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm having a little Peru withdrawal. It's nice to get a fix of your voice and your energy. Thank you for calling.
Well, the most coolest thing that I can share with you guys, which I'm very excited about, and I will say, again, I appreciate so much Michael's work and the work of the whole team that's involved at Y Again with understanding the ancient Aramaic, and all of this gave birth to my book, 21st Century Superhuman, which I've been teaching workshops and have met with amazing, wonderful people who are changing their lives, and partly because of it, and that I am able to share everywhere I go and every group I'm in how it is that our thoughts create our reality and how it is that we need to clear this old data bank of generational thought that we're carrying around that has created our stresses and our blockages and all of that, and it's pretty much all I ever talk about. But in the last couple of months, I've had the opportunity, and again, living sort of a result of A Course in Miracles says when we are living in love, miracles are a natural part of life. And I had been teaching workshops in Florida. I was able to make a trip to Peru, which Michelle went along with, and then two other ladies and a gentleman, a couple of whom had been at my workshops. And we had an amazing time of personal healing and personal growth, which was wonderful. I was also led to more of the scrolls, which I've mentioned a little bit on the show, and one of them talks about these were brought through or channeled through from a really higher mind in about 50 years ago, and one of them talks about us moving into the flag of us moving into a new world is a reorganized United Nations, and I have a lady in Florida who's been translating these scrolls for me. And this one is amazing. And then I'm also affiliated with, I'm a delegate of a group called the Swiss Indo, which was attempting to restore humanitarian funds to humanity during the time of John F. Kennedy. And in fact, he was in the middle of attempting to bring this into being when he was, removed from the scene by those powers that be that, you know, have chosen to live outside of love on the planet. So we've made a lot of progress since then, and a very momentous thing just happened 2 days ago of the country Laos just signed a treaty with Swiss Indo, and I'm a delegate for Swiss Indo, so I'm involved in meetings all the time, that they are going to begin receiving funding from Swiss Indo, and they are going to begin shifting how their country operates into supplying humanitarian and planetary needs. And this is momentous, and it is incredible. I'm more excited than I can even put into words right now, but I've had several 24-hour days going on the last few days. So I'm kind of talking away here without really pausing but I'll pause and let you guys talk, and then I have some more thoughts I'll share on the subject. But it's really exciting. We're in a very, I believe we're at the time of historical change. And it's interesting because Swiss Indo proposes to move ahead through a reorganized United Nations. And this is kind of in process behind the scenes. So, and the fact that this scroll came through and just got translated on how the United Nations symbol would be on the flag of the new civilization that we would move into based in love for an era of peace. So I guess that's my news of today that I'm just excited about. And I know that I wouldn't be as involved as I am. I know that I wouldn't have just gone into the flow so much in my own life if I hadn't been doing this work of doing my own clearing, of learning how to just enter into love, enter into love, enter into love, and remove my own old data to breathe and smile and live in this kind of dispensation that is connected with, you know, the highest creation of all that is.
Well, I have to join you in that, knowing that it's had the same impact on me in my life. And if I hadn't been using these tools, you know, one of the things that I've talked to people about is how it's improved the quality of my life more than words can say. But two things I will use as words to point people in the direction of understanding that is I spend so much less time in each and every day in a negative emotional state, in anger or fear or sadness or frustration. And then the other way it changed my life is I see so many more wonderful connections, what I would have called coincidences, some would call miracles, and the evidence of the interconnectedness of all things and how everything does work out eventually, even if my conscious logical mind can't keep up with why it's happening or how it's going to fit into a better plan. So thank you for sharing that. What else have you called to share? How can we support you in things to the next level?
I guess the best way is just keep reminding people that as every single one of us enters into love, we as a collective are literally changing this planet that we live upon. And I don't know, Michelle, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I think I'm not the same person that I was yesterday. I feel like the healing aspects of that trip are still unfolding for me. And when you were talking about all the things you're involved in, and you're right, you definitely invest a lot of time in supporting that with Indo in the meetings. And I know how much serious legwork, you know, is going on behind the scenes and the efforts towards that, and it just reminded me that, you know, this idea of critical mass is being laid out individually, and, you know, everybody's salvation is a salvation for the whole.
Yes, and I always come back to the only person we can really change is ourselves, and the only thing we can really change is ourselves. So it is as we change that that we really, we assist the whole collective to shift. And That's so exciting. You know, we had so much fun being together and traveling. I think you and I and the other handful of people that were with us. And, huh?
No, I'm laughing out loud just thinking about some of those. It's like you know, one of those all night girl pajama parties, and you just have the giggles and you can't stop. And the people in the courtyard saying that they could hear us laughing so hard, and just. It was a lot of joy on that trip.
Yeah, and we actually were. Go ahead.
No, I raved about it so much that my husband's going tomorrow.
That is really cool. I think he will. Well, you know, we talk about this, and one of the things I know, Michael and Jeannie have gone to Costa Rica some years, and the idea of getting out of the stress of, you know, the outer stress of the United States, where we're in such a materialistic culture and there is a lot of pressure every day to kind of pay our bills and do our jobs and get from here to there, and to go into one of these simpler countries and just kind of step out of that kind of time for a little bit and allow ourselves breathing room to heal and to grow. I found it to be profound. And it makes it, you know, it kind of gives a little more space to do that inner work. And not that it's required or anybody has to do it, but when somebody has the opportunity, it's really a privilege. And I think it opens up our minds and hearts to realize that there's a lot of differences in what people have in this world, and to maybe think about simplifying our lives, to think about paying more attention to what is really important and what's ticking inside of us. And I think stepping out of the routine can really assist with that.
Oh, yeah, it's a complete shift in perspective. You're right. And just being outside so much is an opportunity that you, I guess, become desensitized to when you play the game that we do in America.
Right. We talk a lot about even just time. We're such slaves to time in this culture. I mean, we commit ourselves to, you know, get here and there, and everything is kind of built that way. And then to step out of that and be able to just slow down a little bit and enter into our own body and mind rhythms and enter into a deepening of our experience, I think it's just, it's been really good for me, and I'm so grateful to have been able to. And, you know, speaking of even how I did that trip, just to share really quickly, I mean, I was kind of, I felt like I was being directed by my heart and soul to go. I needed to go spend more time with the scrolls and to, you know, in my own personal journey and with the humanitarian projects I'm connected with down there. And when I left, I mean, I've been operating with very little money per se. However, the universe seems to supply my resources as needed. And I taught one workshop. I had enough money to buy my ticket. I made the decision to go. And then I taught another workshop. I got enough money to buy the flights within the country. And then 2 days before I left, I taught two more workshops and 21st century superhuman workshops. And I made enough money to travel while in the country. And then the lady who I was teaching at a New Beginnings Oneness Center down in Tarpon Springs, Florida, and the lady who ran that center just loved the workshops, and she said, I already have my sermon for Easter Sunday, but would you come and get up on stage with me and share some of this, and we'll just bounce it back and forth. And we were both really confident of our material, and she said, I know it will kind of upgrade what I'm trying to share with people. And so I did, and then I sold about 20 more books, which made it possible to literally do this trip, and that was the day before I got on the plane. And I'm learning to live in this kind of faith that, and how I watch my needs unfolding and being provided for, it's huge in affirming to me that we literally can change our own lives, we can change our world by entering into deeper love and connection with Source. So I just tell that story. I mean, my friend Lisa says, you can't make this stuff up. That's her comment all the time, because we saw so many miracles happening during that trip. I mean, we had a group that came from Egypt connected to me through a friend of mine who was one of the trip leaders, and we ended up riding on the train up to Machu Picchu, and the only groups on that train car was ours and theirs, the Egyptian group. And then them giving us a ride back to the bus to get back to the town where we needed to get to in the pouring rain, and the bus had already left. And somebody loaded us, another bus driver loaded us on his bus and ran down, got to the, and took us to the other bus and said, here, hop on board the PSAC bus. And, I mean, we had so many things happening that were just one miracle after another because we were in our minds and hearts and we were living in love. And, breathing and smiling and seeking to deepen our own connection with our hearts and our spirits and our minds. So, and our conversation throughout the trip pretty constantly was removing our own data, and that it is, you know, this is how we change and grow. And if we saw something around us, we didn't like to look inside ourselves for it. And then I think another piece was just getting to be with the Egyptian group. We got to see some people coming out of a culture that's been more repressed for a long time. And this was a group of kind of healers. And we got to share, you know, our growth process and their growth process and kind of dialogue about that. So that was really amazing as well.
Sounds like a joy.
Yeah. So anyway, well, shall I say goodbye, Michelle? Did you have any other thoughts on the kind of growth that we got to experience through that?
Well, when you were speaking, it reminded me that I noticed that the gift that occurs when you're around people that do have these tools, and so you can help support each other a lot easier and minimize conflicts because we all are sort of on the same foundation of the principles and in working them and supporting each other in working them. And so I think that was just a gift because it isn't always available, you know, in a normal office environment where maybe not everybody's, you know, as conscious with, you know, recognizing that it's an inside job. So I think
right.
that was like really nice just to be in that space where, you know, we're on a level playing ground here and everybody's taking responsibility for themselves.
Yeah. And I think that's a reminder of how important community is, how important it is to find a family and a team who of, you know, just people that we can communicate with on a regular basis who get this kind of growth process because it supports us. Michael always says if you're out doing it alone, you're probably not going to keep going. We need, you know, our teammates, our tribe, whatever we want to call it, the community of love, which is in the Aramaic, means is what heaven means. And the community of love here in this world, on this earth. And that is what helps us stay on the journey and kind of keep transforming at a good rate.
If Michael were here, he would chime in with the African proverb that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you guys, all I can say is lots of love to you both, and thank you so much for doing what you're doing. Unless you have any other questions for me, I'll go ahead and log off, and I'll turn the radio show on so I can listen to the rest of it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call, and congratulations on the trip and the personal growth, and please feel free to keep us posted.
Okay. You guys have a wonderful day, and we'll talk
soon.
Thanks,
Carrie, so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Michelle, anything else to add or anybody else with a hand up or a question in the chat room?
Well, yes, we have a hand up. I got area code 917 on. Mr. Mike, who's calling, please?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, this is Sarah Bugeni. I was at the teacher's training the past 9 days. I was part of the team that was making the food with the 2 intensives.
Wonderful. Thanks for calling, Sarah. How can we support you?
Oh, I just wanted to share a couple of the things that I'll call them formulas that came to awareness with me that really changed the way I live my life. And one of them that's, I think, the key one is I was always very driven and very pushed to do everything I wanted to accomplish. And I've had 3 nervous breakdowns before the age of 30 and before the work and before I changed my lifestyle. It was a challenge to keep my stress level in the healthy zone. And as we were discussing and through the processes, one of the things that really made a big difference for me is understanding that I need to be inspired versus driven. And in the world that we live in, where everything's about money and materialism and the house and the car and everything, it was a big shift for me. So I was driven to go to school, driven to make money, and being inspired is a completely different space, a different energy, and a different driving source. And I think that's what I wanted to bring in today, that when we're connected with our purpose and we live in love and we keep it active and present, it's actually very easy not to be stressed, and it's fun to do what we have to do, and it's not a chore anymore. It's inspiring, and it's fun to wake up and do it. So that's my little piece that was a cornerstone of what I took from from the retreat, and we had an amazing time. You guys were talking about community. Me and my husband, we live on an organic farm where we spend most of our time and we work from home, and I think we forgot the importance having a team that resonates with the same brain cells. So having a group to constantly bring our communication back on track, or using the right vocabulary to create consciously, team that holds a space of love when we were unable to do it, was really a catalyst for us to have such a big growth. And it was awesome. I'm so grateful that they came to Florida to do the teacher's training. And we decided to start, probably we'll be starting next week, a support group here in Hudson at the farm for the people that are around us. And we also extended the work with our coworkers at the office. We work in the hotel industry, which can be very stressful and very demanding of the staff. And we involved a lot of the employees in the work, and we'll be doing a support group there as well. So I was surprised. I always thought that, oh, they don't care. You know, they don't want to do it. And as the energy was shifting, people were actually going to Michael, sharing their personal struggle and expressing that they need this work. And it was great. I'm really happy that we're creating new communities and support groups to keep this present. Because every time I go, this was my fifth intensive, and every time I go, I say I'm going to do my worksheets every day, and I'm going to eat raw food and juice, and, you know, the months go by, and I didn't keep up with my commitment. So I'm looking forward to doing this so that I can be a space of support for the people around me, and at the same time, it will help me have the strength and the discipline to do it for myself. Sometimes it's easier to do it for others than for ourselves. And, yeah, that's what I wanted to share.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. I'm glad you were able to participate in this, and thank you for the call to give the testimonial. It's one thing to be on the show and talk about this, and we have the same kind of people who are on the show each day or calling in, so it's great to get a new perspective, have broadened the database of people who've gotten success with the tools, and it might just motivate somebody. There are so many things in what you just said to talk about. You've talked about the idea of having a secondary purpose, and Michael presents the workshop on purpose, personal power, and commitment. And in there, he has a tool that you can help people, or that people can use to help themselves figure out what is their purpose or their passion in life, so they can pursue or be drawn by their passion rather than driven by their goals or goals that someone else sets for them. So that's a wonderful piece that you bring up, and we could spend, you know, three or four of these hour-long shows talking about that. Another one that you mentioned is the idea of managing your stress. And there's a lecture he does on getting the stress you need and being able to cancel all my goals at night before I go to bed, any of them that are unachieved, and ask to be shown how to have a restful night's sleep and maybe evaluate some of the goals that I've selected or framed for possible attention tomorrow, and then have a nice night's sleep and wake up in the morning and take a breath and take some time for connected breathing and maybe some inspirational reading, and then evaluate one more time before I set out on my day, do I really want to set these goals for today? And they're not 100 goals for today, it's 1, 2, 3, or 4 goals for the day. And the way that that can help me manage my stress, get the stress that will help me pursue my purpose and my passion and feel fulfilled by it, and avoid the stress that's just going to eat me up from the inside out without giving me that sense of satisfaction and connection to my true nature is love, that's another powerful tool. So thank you for mentioning those. We haven't mentioned those for a while, at least in detail on the show. And I think it's exciting to me to hear that you're working with a group of people in the restaurant industry, which, as you said, some people can choose to turn that into a very, very high-stress environment. and to give people the tools to be able to be in an environment like that and manage their own stress is a wonderful thing.
I also, during the process, one of the things that we learned in the teacher's training was the tool of the personal code evaluation.
Yeah.
And knowing how to analyze the scores and being able to guide people to the exercises that are best for their growth at that point in time. And one of my challenges at the beginning of the intensive was the love for truth. And I come from a legal background. I'm an attorney, and I practiced for a number of years. And Michael always told me when we first met, oh, you know, the legal profession, they train you to have, it takes away from your love of truth in one sense, because it's difficult to actually see things clearly when you're trained to lead both sides of the equation and distort the truth to make a point in both areas. So one of the things that my carbon-based memory was very convinced of is that I am stressed because I'm busy, and I'm busy because I have a certain amount of businesses. And no matter what I do, I'll always be stressed. And even though I do the work and I was working on anger and different areas, I don't think I truly believed until this intensive that I could live stress-free. And during the intensive, just to give you guys an idea of the background, we own the hotel. We have other businesses. We were closing on the farm. I was doing all the raw food for the event, and I was doing my teacher's training. And I had my husband with me, and we usually work 8 to 10 hours a day doing our different things. And my husband and I were saying, how are we going to balance this without being stressed? And we realized that it's an illusion. And I had plenty of time to do everything I had to do in the few hours that I allocated for my work, and I probably did it 5 times faster because I was in pressure or stress, and we managed to balance all the different areas that we wanted to accomplish, and it was so easy. And all these years, I was really convinced that I needed this stress, and that's what was driving me. And at the end of the day, it was just bliss. We accomplished a lot. We were in harmony. Better than ever. My husband and I work together in everything that we do. So when the stress is up, it's difficult. It's been challenging to keep the love active, and it was very easy. Of course we were doing 10, 15, 20 worksheets a day, and we had Michael to remind us that when the stress would go up, that our need to make stories to blame others or to justify how we felt was obsolete. It helped Michael around. But with the whole support team and because we were doing our work constantly all day, it was magical. We did everything we had to do with ease, smiling, with happiness, regardless of the amount of tasks that we have. So I guess it was a big realization for me that stress is a big myth. And it's 100% given by our own person. We cause it, and then we believe it has to be there for whatever reason, and it's a lie. The second that I was able to shift and own it, I was able to put it aside, and that resonance, that anxiety, that conscious stress that I was living in just dissipated. And it was a blissful moment, and I'm... One of the reasons why I want to listen to the radio show every day and make that commitment is because I want to stay in that beautiful space where working is fun and it's easy, and no matter how many things I have to do, as long as it's planned and organized and I don't overexert myself and put more goals than I need to achieve, it's actually, the brain is actually very powerful. We can accomplish a lot when we're aligned. And everything
well,
falls
you,
in
you,
place and it's easy.
Yeah, you remind me of a story that I heard from years ago with Mary Baker Eddy, who is the founder of the church called Religious Science. And she had one of the gentlemen who was one of the higher-ups in this large organization that she had created, which had the church, and it had the Christian Science Monitor, which is has grown into be one of the most respected newspapers on our in our country and around the world. And this gentleman who works for her came to her and said, I'm too stressed. I can't do it all. I feel like I'm failing you, and now you want me to help with the renovation of the church building and this expansion. And he said, I just can't keep up with all this work. And so she said, all right, well, I have the solution for you. And he said, oh, thanks. What is it? And she said, I want you to increase your prayer and meditation to 4 hours a day. And he said, that's insane. I'm trying to tell you, I don't have enough time to do everything that's already, I'm already overstressed. There isn't enough time to do everything that's already on my plate. And you want me to add another 3 hours of prayer and meditation to the hour I already do? Well, you can guess from where this conversation has gone that the end result of the story was that he did increase his prayer and meditation to 4 hours a day, and he found out that he had more than enough time to get everything done with time to spare. And it's very much the same as you're reporting here, that when I'm clear and when I'm focused and when I stay in the moment, I end up accomplishing far more than when I run around in a high stress level with my focus on something other than my true nature and with a focus on something other than being responsible for what I create in my present moment. So thank you for that. I'm very, very grateful for the testimonial and glad to hear that it was so productive for you. And I hope this nudges a few people to join Michael and Jeannie this summer for their intensive program.
Yes, we were considering going to the Laws of Living. I've only done 5 or 6 days of it a couple years ago, and it's the area that I feel is very important to apply, and I haven't had the chance to get that knowledge. And it's something, as Michael said, that you want to learn in person, because you learn more by questioning and being part of the learning process. It's not something you can just pick up a book and absorb. So we're certainly considering going there for the Laws of Living. I think it's 16 days at Heartland.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you who haven't been, I was there with 3-4 years ago. It's beautiful. The lake is pristine. And I've never had more vivid dreams than at Heartland. There's something about that place. I don't know if it's the crystals or the love or all the energy clearing, but it's a very powerful place to be, to have personal growth and healing.
I would have to agree. I think I've lost count as to whether I've been there 4 or 5 times, but each time has been well worth the effort. And thank you so much for the call, and please keep us posted on how things are going.
Thank you, Dr.
Sarah.
Finn.
Have Sarah, a good day. Sarah?
Yes?
You know, I appreciate your sharing, too, but there was one thing you did not share, and that was the avocado cashew lemon pie dessert recipe.
Okay. Would you like me to share it now?
Well, you know, there's a beautiful picture on Michael's J.M. Rice Facebook page, so I think if you find them, and you could probably put it underneath the picture, and it would make a lot of people, enticed to make it.
Yes. Well, we were planning on that for the next couple of days. I'll revise the recipes because, as you know, during the intensive, we usually cook for 12 to 20 people, so I'm going to revise them so that they fit for 4 people, 4 to 6. And we'll be posting a lot of other recipes that we did during the intensive that are not in the cookbook. Definitely, thanks for reminding me. There was a lot of great new additions, and I think it gives a lot of intuition and ideas of people for people to play in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's probably one of the most enjoyable aspects of being there. It's a welcome relief from all of the heavy emotional work is to just go there and chop some vegetables.
Yes, the raw food is, for me, it's been quite a blessing. I mean, that's how I met Michael. I was actually paralyzed from the waist down from a severe sciatica, and that's how my journey all started. It was a juice fast for 6 days and raw food for a couple months that completely, for years my back was 100%. And the second I let go of the tools and I stopped my growth, it came back a little bit, and now I'm working on releasing the disintegrative energies that are the true cause of it, because I can bring all the light from all the food and all the juicing. There's still a little magnet in there that attracts a situation where it gets triggered. So all of the above.
All of the above.
Yes.
And for those who don't know, all of the above is a reference to using every tool. Every tool, as long as and often as is needed, until the desired state of awareness of my true nature of love is restored. So thank you so much for the call. And as I said, please keep us posted.
I will. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too. So, Michelle, comments, questions, other people with a hand up, what's happening?
Well, in the chat room, and I don't think we've got time to at least start on this topic, there was a question related to Dr. Rice's mentioning previously that the breath translates to spirit and then it fits in with Rukha Dukuja. And the person asked if maybe you could expand a little bit on that concept or how we can utilize that information to,
Okay. All right.
Process.
So I got it. So essentially, it's backwards to say that the breath translates to spirit. What's more accurate is that in the ancient spiritual teachings, people understood that there were these laws, these universal laws, laws of nature, laws of God, however you want to think about it, and they simply function in a certain way. And the more we understand them, the easier it is for us to cooperate with them and receive the strength and the benefit of their energy and their productivity in our lives. And in the ancient Aramaic, there was a word that was in these ancient spiritual teachings. It goes back, to the Egyptians and beyond. But there was a word in the ancient Aramaic language that Rukha or Ruha, and it translated by the Greeks into the word spirit or spiritas. But that's not, how we think of it as a disembodied spirit. That's not what they were talking about in the ancient teachings. What that meant was an elemental force. And an elemental force is anything like the breath or the heartbeat, or gravity, or the wind, that we cannot see the source of, and we can't see the end of, but we can feel the effects of. And so Dale Allen Hoffman gives presentations and says, if you want to learn more about what the true spiritual meanings were in the ancient teachings, a simple way to do it is to pick up a Bible like the King James Version, and everywhere where it says the word spirit, cross that word out and write in the word breath, and see how it changes the meaning for you. And if you understand that the breath of life is energy, a force of energy that continues without you thinking about it during the day, and even when you're asleep at night, and so it's an automatic process. There's an energy that initiates it and an energy that keeps it flowing in you. And that in truth, it's more about your life is more about your being breathed than you are breathing. And that you are being lived through more than you are living. Way of Mastery asks, you know, if think about a time when you might have difficulty tapping into humility, and then just ask yourself this question. Did I create myself? And of course you'll come up with the answer, no. As a matter of fact, you'll think, I don't even know when I was created. So the concept of these elemental forces that have an existence beyond what we can acknowledge, that we don't get to see the direct action of them, but we get to see the side effects of them. They are the powers that underlie our existence and our consciousness, and breath is just one of them. So, for example, Jesus was supposed to give the Sermon on the Mount, and he was supposed to have given the list of Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes begin with this concept that blessed are they, that the Greeks translate as blessed are they who do this and this. So blessed are they who are poor in spirit is the first one in the King James Version of the Bible. Well, ancient Aramaic translators who've worked in a team have come up with some different meanings for that. In other words, the word that was translated as poor in that first beatitude was also the word with a slight difference, a little dot here or chittle there, was the word for home. So it makes more sense if you know the whole thing about what the spiritual teachings were and what the original language was. Instead of saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, it makes more sense that Yeshua was saying something like, blessed are they, or, there's a different interpretation for that word, but those who make their home in their breath. Because if you understand that the word for spirit really meant breath and the divine breath of life, the infinite breath of God, so blessed are they who make their home in the breath. And there's another set of words there that was translated as blessed are they, and it really, Michael's team of translators came up with, that really is a word that has three parts. It's tuvehun, and it means there's a latent neural structure that's implanted in you by God, which is there to break off the effects of your errors in thought and guide you to truth and happiness if you simply ask it to. And it will become active if you, and then here's a list of instructions. The first one is make your home in the breath. Make your home in your, some interpretations say, make your home in the breathing unity and let the fertile soil of the queendom birth your clear guidance. Dale Allen Hoffman's interpretation of it is the first beatitude says, first, whenever you're distressed, upset, tense, angry, scared, stop and breathe. The second beatitude is feel what's coming up and let it come up from the deepest levels of you and just feel it. And the third beatitude says, let it flow through you. Breathe, feel it, and let it flow. So I hope that begins to answer the question about the confusion between these translations of the original word, which was spiritus or breath or elemental force. And please, we're down to the last 60 seconds of the show. So back again. Tomorrow is Friday, and all again next week, and join us. And in the meantime, have the best year yet of your eternal life. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.